Welcome to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 14, because that's where we are studying at this time, and we're studying a lesson that Jesus taught on humility. And among the things that Elam has to say in regard to this is that it is a high crime for frail and fallible and weak and erring men to exalt himself above God or all that is called of God or that is worshipped. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. And just think how it must look to God when men set aside God's way and order things for their own. You don't want to do this in deciding what is right and wrong. Say, well, that's what God says, but I think, and exalt yourself over God. You don't want to do that when it comes in regard to worship. When God tells us how to worship, we don't want to say, well, I think, and then come up with our own ways of worship. I heard where one church last Easter, because they weren't assembling, decided they'd come up on their own way of worship. They actually put a cross in their yard and asked people to come and strew flowers around that cross. It sounded like idolatry to me. I tell you, don't let the image of the cross become a graven image to you. And don't try to dream up innovative ways to try to worship God when He has shown us the way to worship Him. It is not humility to do so. He who humbles himself in obedience to God will be exalted to salvation in heaven. Now, we're going to continue this lesson in Luke chapter 14, and I'll be reading in just a moment, verses 12 through 14. So while you're turning your Bible to that part, let me remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and today we're studying notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of January 14th, 1923. You are in class session 194. Now let me read to you Luke 14, 12 through 14. He said to them that had bidden him, "When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor the rich neighbors, lest haply they also bid thee again, and recompense be made. But when thou makest a feast, bid the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, because they have not wherewith to recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just." What kind of feasts are acceptable to God? Jesus used this occasion to show what feasts are acceptable to God and what are not. Study this well. A feast should not be made for the sake of earthly reward or to gain the favor of the rich and great, and a recompense be made thee, that is, by an invitation to dine with those who have dined with you and by social advantages and enjoyments. But bid the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. The reason given is this: they have not wherewith to recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. Who makes such feasts now? Remember this next Thanksgiving Day and next Christmas. Such feasts are acceptable to God. God does not condemn or forbid entertaining friends and relatives, but making feasts for what are called social advantages, selfish ends, and earthly gain, those who feed the poor and clothe the naked in the name of Jesus will be blessed both on earth and in the resurrection of the just. The satisfaction and peace of having done right and of having added to the happiness of others is a great blessing. In the end, Jesus will say, "For I was hungry and ye gave me to eat. I was thirsty and ye gave me to drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me." Let me read to you those words of Jesus out of the American Standard Version. And I'm reading now from Matthew chapter 25, and I want to read verses 31 through 46. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or athirst and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these my brethren, even these least, ye did it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took not me in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hunger, or athirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of these least, ye did it not unto me. And they shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Neither is the church a sort of social affair with religious complexion. It is not a religious social club, but a great spiritual feast with open doors to all the poor and sinful of the earth. Let's talk about eating in the kingdom of God. It is fitting to add the lesson which one at least drew from this table talk of Jesus. In verse 15, we read from Luke chapter 14 that one of the guests heard Jesus' instructions regarding the feast and feeding of the poor, and he made this remark, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." He was no doubt impressed with the goodness, wisdom, and superiority of Jesus, and with many entertaining the false idea that Christ would take the literal throne of David and reign as a political, temporal, earthly king. This man certainly had no clear conception of it than the apostles, and they thought this. He thought Jesus would rid them of their common enemy and of all oppression, and that peace and plenty would abound. Many today still entertain earthly hopes for their spiritual kingdom. To eat bread in the kingdom of God meant to become a citizen in that kingdom and a partaker of its protection and benefits. This man thought a subject of the kingdom would be blessed, as indeed he is. This remark furnished Jesus another opportunity to teach other much-needed lessons. People are frequently ready to accept temporal blessings while they reject spiritual ones. To correct the false views concerning his kingdom and to reprove them in the manner in which they treated his gracious invitation to become citizens of it, Jesus gave them the parable of the Great Supper in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. And I want to read that now, but I'm going to begin in verse 15. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent forth his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, Well, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant came and told his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, and maimed, and blind, and lame. And the servant of the Lord said, Lord, what thou didst command is done, and there is yet room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and constrain them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now with this, the Sunday school lesson for January 14th comes to a close. And I turn the page and we're ready for the Sunday school lesson for January the 12th. And it is the story of the prodigal son, a temperance lesson. Before getting into that, I want to read the text reading up to it. And so I'm going to begin again now in Luke chapter 14 and verse 24. And we'll read to the end of the program and then pick up on this lesson of the prodigal son in our next class period. But Luke chapter 14 and verse 25 says this, Now there went out with him great multitudes, and he turned and said unto them, If a man cometh unto me, and hateth not his own father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his own cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he hath wherewith to complete it, lest haply, when he hath laid a foundation, it is not able to finish? All that behold begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, as he goeth to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel, whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him, or 20,000? Or else, when the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and asketh conditions of peace. So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt, therefore, is good. But even if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is fit neither for land nor for the dunghill. Men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him fear. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him, and both the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. Now when the rest of chapter 15, we're going to talk about things that are lost. We're going to talk about a lost sheep. We're going to talk about a lost coin. And finally, we're going to talk about a lost boy. And that'll be the lesson that is coming up in the next class period.